So this is what you do the first time we're back together as a family, Vampire Book Club.
Warning, this podcast, Vampire Book Club, will contain spoilers from The Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and Legacies. Hey everyone, it's Michaela. Welcome to my podcast, Vampire Book Club. Again, there will be spoilers in this podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to be discussing The Vampire Diaries and The Originals crossover, the only true crossover. Obviously, some characters crossover in a bunch of different episodes, but there's not like a two-part episode other than these two where you have to watch on each show to know what really happened. And this would be episode 7-14 of The Vampire Diaries, Moonlight on the Bayou, and 3-14 in The Originals, A Streetcar Named Desire. Honestly, so in season 7 of The Vampire Diaries, the timeline gets a little weird. We start seeing flash forwards of things happening that we had no idea about. So in episode 7-13, which is called This Woman's Work, we see a flash forward of Caroline on the phone with Rick, and he's just telling her to go drive, and then one of her daughters wakes up, I think it was Josie, and she's like, Mommy, where are we going? And Caroline replies, we're going to New Orleans to see Mommy's friend, and you're just like, oh my God. Then at the beginning of 7-14, we see another flash forward of Caroline and the twins arriving in New Orleans. They walk into the St. James pub or whatever it's called. She's making jokes about how you guys won't be in a bar again until you're 21. And then the bartender walks up and she's like, I am just looking for someone and I realized I didn't know where they lived. Klaus Michelson? She's like, he's not here. He's like, no, he'll know who I am. It's Caroline. Tell him. She's like, honey, nobody's seen any of the Michelsons for years. And this is a flash forward, so you have no idea what's going on yet. And it's confusing with the timeline. I'm glad they actually address it again at some point. So I guess she leaves or whatever, and then we're in current time. So in the episode before this, Caroline had also given birth to the twins. Stefan is trying to save Damon. Enzo is working with the armory to get Rena Cruz. Bonnie walks in and says, Stefan, while Caroline is giving birth and the heretics are trying to help her, the heretics have to leave because Beau's scar opens up. Valerie stays behind. Rena gets Beau. Mary Louise and Nora are now running from the armory and Rena. And Stefan, being the hero that he is, him and his hero hair, step right in front of Damon at the last second before Rena stabs him with the sword. And Stefan gets the mark instead, so Stefan is on the run. Now he can't go near Caroline, who just delivered her babies. This is a little bit of the backstory of The Vampire Diaries. So now let's talk about what was happening before these two episodes in the originals. There was a prophecy going around saying that all the Michelsons would fall within a year, one by friend, one by foe, and one by family. And when I say the Michelsons, I specifically mean Rebecca, Elijah, and Klaus, because they are the only originals that have not died yet, and they are the only ones that are attached to a sire line at this point. And the original sire lines, any vampire that they sired or was sired by any of their sires, are connected to their lives. We see that with Cole and Finn when they die in The Vampire Diaries. So the Michelsons' first sires have come to stop this prophecy and to either protect the Michelsons or to break the sire line link between the Michelsons and all the other vampires. So the Strix, which is a coven that was created by Elijah and his lover at the time, Aya, who is back and recruited Marcel. Marcel is undercover trying to help the Michelsons. He's walking a very thin line here. You don't know which side he's on for sure at times. They also rope in Davina. They say they will help her bring Cole back if she helps them find a way to finish this siring spell or unlinking spell. She gets them to temporarily bring back Cole so he can find the missing ingredient, and then they promise to bring him back permanently. But she doesn't trust them, so she comes up with her own little plan. Because at one point, she was trying to help Marcel do this so Marcel wouldn't die if they were to kill Klaus. So Cole comes back with the Hand of Glory. She figures it out. She figures out the missing ingredient from the spell is the heart of an unsired vampire. There has not been an unsired vampire in 1,000 years. So the witches go after Haley because she is the first and only one to not be sired to any of the Michelsons. Davina warns her that they are coming for her. Marcel tries to stop Aya, and his neck gets snapped. He eventually does stop her and says that he can do this the right way and find another workaround. He does find a workaround. At one point, Jackson and Haley are fighting, and she goes over to the Michelsons' house, even though he asks her not to, and helps save them. And then she is so angry, she starts to torture Tristan. Tristan actually takes both Haley and Jackson to retaliate and rips out Jackson's heart in front of Haley while putting her on a massive amount of wolfsbane and returning her to the Michelsons. When he does that, he gets put into the ocean. Once he is returned, the Michelsons trick him using Camille. Tristan is the first sire of Elijah and Klaus's first lover as a vampire's brother, Aurora's brother. Aurora manipulates Camille into turning herself into a vampire. While she's in transition, she is able to use a device that only traps the living or the dead, not the both. She is disguised as Aurora, and that's why they are even giving Haley back in the first place. Like I said before, that Marcel actually finds a witchy workaround. Haley and Jackson had a unification ceremony which made their hearts exactly the same. So he finds Jackson's heart that was buried under a tree, and they use that for the unlinking spell, saving Haley's life. However, Haley's still pissed. Aurora was able to use Cammy to also get the white oak bullets and the Strix witches and Davina, a little bit of everything, and everyone she used to get her hands on some white oak. So the only remaining white oak happened to be a toy that Hope really liked. It was actually made by Klaus. He had given it to Rebecca during a storm when they were children, and he has only ever told his therapist Camille, who was losing her shit at that point, and took it to get back at him and to show him how she felt when he took her dark objects. Aurora has the toy and has it made into bullets. She lures them in with Freya, and she ends up shooting Elijah. He almost dies, and he had to end up telling them where Rebecca is, because he actually staked Rebecca because she was going crazy. So we got bullets in play. We got a spell happening, or them trying really hard to have this spell happening. Aya finds Aurora, who has the bullets, and makes a deal with her to either save her brother or to end his suffering if she helps Aya. I think that's all you really need to know for the backstory of the originals. Sorry that was a little bit longer than the Vampire Diaries backstory. There was a lot going on here. I guess the only other thing that you would need to know is, and you're going to find out in the episode anyways, is that Stefan is a part of Klaus's sire line. And honestly, when I talk about sired and sire lining and all the different types of siring that we have going on, it's so confusing, and I'm sorry if I lost you guys. I get confused with the World of Sires, just Haley in general, and Hope, because they don't make sense to me with their siring properties that they have, but whatever. Okay, so let's actually get to talking about the crossover itself. These are, for each show, these are like probably one of my favorite episodes. I like that. Who doesn't like a crossover, you know? I thought that it was written exceptionally well. I thought that it really worked together. It really made sense for them to do it like this. And it really gave me the Claroline moments that I wanted and needed. It just proves to me that Claroline will always be better than Steriline for quite a few reasons. That's obviously not like the main point of these episodes, but I mean, it was definitely pretty good. I think the actual reason for this crossover was more to do with unsiring Klaus from the gang in Mystic Falls so they could do whatever they wanted with Aether, just in case. However, that was not like confirmed or anything that I know of. That's my theory. Also, it was being requested by the audience a lot in cons and whatnot at that point. I do remember that. So I'm sure that was part of it. Raina Cruz is a vampire hunter who has a blade that traps vampires in a stone. She is with her sword. She has now marked Stefan. Stefan is on the run. Valerie tells Stefan about a safe house, a place that he can go where magic does not work. So he goes there. He's marking up like his wound. He goes to this place. It is in, you guessed it, New Orleans. He sits down at the bar and somebody slides him a shot. And this is all happening in the Vampire Diaries episode Moonlight on the Bayou. And it is Klaus that slides him this shot. He's like, hello, old friend. And other than the, like, Caroline flash forward with her twins, we are mostly in the present here. So Klaus asks Stefan what he's doing there in, you know, St. James, where magic doesn't work. He gets a phone call from Damon and ignores it. And he says, oh, I'm just, you know, trying to avoid my brother. I thought out of all people, you would understand family drama. And he's like, how is Elijah? And whatever Michelson you've brought back from the dead. And he's like, you know me, never a dull moment with the Michelsons, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, I heard you save the city from the mining fire. The same bartender who is in there talking to Caroline in the flash forward is also talking to Klaus and Stefan right now. Then he's like, how is Caroline? And Stefan's like, Sylvia, I think we're going to need another round for this one. Sylvia or whatever is the bartender that I was just speaking about. So Damon and Valerie are on the phone. Damon's like, I got a way to save Stefan from Raina. We just need to get him to come to me. And she's like, well, he can't. It's going to be a while. He's in New Orleans. And Damon's just like, no, we don't go to New Orleans unless we need crappy booze or Klaus blood. So she tells him about the anti-magic bar, and then he tells her about the armory, and she's like, no, don't do that, get out of the armory right now, they are full of lies. And he puts it together, so he gets Bonnie and they try to leave. Enzo stops him from leaving and traps him in a cell with Tyler Lockwolf, the tween wolf, on a full moon. So unless, you know, he gives Stefan's location, he's going to be bitten by Tyler. And he's not going to give Stefan's location because that's his brother. And Enzo has been being shady towards them. And apparently the armory, that's what they do. So the armory was also looking for Mary Louise and Nora. And they are in this little, like, convenience store. And Mary Louise is just, like, ready to give up. She's like, you know, our family couldn't survive this modern world. And now we're on the run from a Huntress again. And Nora's just like, be happy, like, we're together here. And honestly, I love them and I wish that they kept them longer than season 7. I think those two would have been great to stay on the show. And Nora just hands Mary Louise a ring pop and says, it's not even a real diamond. It's not. But what it is good enough. And you are good enough. And we're good enough. And all of a sudden the armory shows up and says, for such powerful beings, you were just unable to grasp the concept of modern cell phone tracking. Which, you know, means Mary Louise was right. It's harder for them to survive in this modern world because they don't know much about it. But because Stefan is on the run, Caroline agrees to go to Dallas with Rick and the babies. And he's going to Dallas because he made a promise to Joe that he would get out of there and they wouldn't be a part of this magical world to protect their children. And as soon as he saw their faces, he was like, yeah, I'm out. So instead of him hiring a person to go with him, he hired somebody from the nurse. Caroline's like, I'll go. That way I don't have to worry about my boyfriend, you know, being chased by some magical hunter. And Damon then calls Stefan, is like, yo, can you get Klaus blood? I heard you're in New Orleans. And he's like, I'll see what I can do. And before that, Klaus and Stefan were catching up and talking about Caroline and siphon babies and heretics and all this other stuff. And Stefan is just like, Caroline's not their mother, so it's fine. The babies aren't hers. And I love it, because Klaus just knows her better than anyone. Klaus barely met her and knew her better than anybody. And I don't care if it seems fake, but, like, that happens sometimes. Sometimes you can just meet a soul and connect to them without reason. But Klaus says, yeah, uh-huh. So she carried two lives in her womb. She gave birth to them. And now she plans to turn those cooing little faces over to Alaric without so much as a hiccup of hesitation. Yeah, you're probably right. That does sound like the Caroline I remember. Like, how does the person who's spent all this time with her recently not know this about her, but Klaus, who hasn't seen her in years, does? And then we see Klaus getting a little jelly. He's probably like, you don't deserve her. I do, bitch. He's like, if you care for her as much as you say you do, like, why aren't you with her? And then he's like, family drama. And as he's saying this, like, his scar opens up, so Klaus is like, oh my god, this is the mark of Raina. What the fuck are you doing here? Get out. He's like, don't ask me for favors. Don't come to my house and lure some huntress bitch to my city where my family lives. Stefan's like, well, if I leave, I'll die. Klaus is like, well, if you stay, I'll kill you. So he leaves. You know, and Bonnie ends up finding Damon in the cell and tries to find a way to get him free. She ends up, like, chopping off Enzo's hand because Enzo is willing to backstab her and all of her friends for a little bit of information about his family that abandoned him from the beginning when, and so she's like, you know what? Chops off his hand and says, I would have made a better friend than an enemy, because she even says to him, like, why are you willing to do this? And he's like, well, I just want to be, I want to be somebody's choice. And I get that. And honestly, they have some pretty cute moments in here. I'm glad they got them together eventually. But she saves Damon, and Tyler's just talking shit to Damon the whole time, like, you'd be better off because eventually you're gonna, like, fuck up. And even right now, you're having Bonnie come in here, and she's gonna die because I'll kill her too, and you know I don't control it. And to be clear, Tyler is no longer a hybrid at this point because he came back from the other side with his vampire side stripped, and his werewolf side was still dormant inside of him. He triggered it after Kai. So as Stefan is leaving New Orleans, or at least St. James, he forgets his cell phone and it starts ringing. Klaus looks over at it, and it is Caroline, who is sitting in a diner with crying babies, or at least one crying baby at this point. In like three lines that he says to her, you again can see how much he knows Caroline better than anybody else and how deeply he truly cares about her. I feel like a lot of hardcore Vampire Diaries fans remembered the like Delana scene where it's like, I thought you broke my heart, so I ripped out Aaron's neck. I hate that fucking scene. Sorry. Cool if you like it. And to be clear, I am a Delana shipper. I just don't like that scene at all. It actually, that's like where I start to not like Delana as much, because Delana changes so much for him post-Cyrobon. But this scene right here in this crossover is that for me. I remembered every single word of this. I love this interaction. It is only on the phone, and it is just chef's kiss. And he picks up the phone and answers it. He's like, hello, love. She's like, who is this? Ouch, has it really been that long? And, you know, I could say it word for word. I'm not going to, because it will probably just bore you guys. She basically figures out that it's Klaus. She's like, how am I talking to you? He's just like, yo, you want some of my baby's onesies? And she's just like, yeah, these aren't my babies. And he's just like, yeah, well, your boyfriend's made that pretty clear. They're not your babies. She's like, two, yeah, I didn't call you. I called Stefan. Yes, my boyfriend, who's currently running for his life while I sit here playing worst case scenario, except these babies that aren't mine, won't stop crying. And now this entire diner hates me. So if you could refrain from gloating in the face of my misery, that would be very much appreciated. And remember, guys, there is like a prophecy that is linking Klaus, Elijah, and Rebecca's death to a family member, a foe, and a friend. But despite that, he replies to Caroline, Stefan will be fine. After just throwing him out, Caroline's just like, how do you know? He's like, because I will ensure it. And then he remembers the exact words that she said to him 2 to 3 years ago when she admits that she does care about him, kind of, and sleeps with him, but also rejects him because she knows that he's not a good person. And he also promises never to return to Mystic Falls. And I appreciate the writers not bringing him to Mystic Falls and just having this phone conversation and Stefan going there, because it really honored that as well. So basically, he says he will ensure that Stefan is fine. And then he says, so here you are in college, building a life for yourself, plans, a future, things you wanted. She's like, Klaus, I'm not doing this with you. He's like, I take it children weren't involved in those plans. No, luckily they weren't. They aren't mine. And then what he says to her, again, sorry that I'm going so deep into Caroline. They are my Roman Empire and I love them so much. And he's just like, you know, my family challenges the bounds of my sanity. They drive me to do unspeakable things, all the while finding fresh and inventive ways to torture me. But as it turns out, my family is what makes me truly happy. I'm sorry, I was really trying not to quote this word for word, but I can't help it. And the next line like says everything about them, about the babies, about how Caroline feels, about how Caroline tries to censor herself from relationships that she thinks might not be good for her. He's like, it's not a crime to love what you cannot explain. And he's just like, I was sorry to hear about your mother, Caroline. I'm sure she would have loved to see you with the little ones. And then the baby stopped crying. Well, the baby. And then Bonnie freed Damon. Tyler gets out and harms her. And they have these like anti-magic pills because she couldn't do magic. And Damon's blood's not working to heal Bonnie. So Damon brings her to the hospital. They have a cute little moment where Damon is just talking shit and saying he'll never forgive her if she dies. Klaus shows up to save Stefan right in the nick of time as Reyna is about to stab Stefan in the heart or wherever. Stefan's like driving to the train station. He's just like, do you love her? Hands him his phone. And Caroline, do you love her? Stefan's like, why? Do you have feelings for her? Still. Klaus is like, I have far too many complicated women in my life already. Caroline is the reason the tip of Reyna's blade ended up in your flesh, isn't she? You were protecting her. And he's just like, no, I was protecting Damon. And he's like, let her go then, Stefan. If you love her, let her go. Because I've watched Elijah do the same shit for me. And he's lost everything, and you will too. And ugh, the way he loves her, the way he is risking the prophecy, the way he is just, ugh, I just love that. The way he chased her from the beginning, the way he remembered what she said, the way he just cares for her and knows her better than Stefan. Ugh. And Stefan starts panicking, like, you're missing the exit. He's like, we're not going there. We're going to see a witch. I have something that can help you. Turns out Enzo's family is actually the owners of the armory and the people who founded the armory. That's what he is told by Alexandria St. John when he is about to leave because he's pissed at being played by them and not getting any answers. Now let's talk about what happens in the originals. So like I said, Aurora and Aya make alliances. They end up putting Tristan, who's drowning in the ocean, in a chambre de chasse with the Strix witches. While Davina is preparing for the spell, Marcel is trying to talk her out of it for a couple reasons. But he supports her at this point. And we see Elijah telling Freya that he took Rebecca and where she is because if Aurora had taken his life, that no one would have known where Rebecca was. And the girl came close, you know? So as Freya and Elijah are talking about this and like one is fallen by family, one by foe, and one by friend, Klaus walks in. Freya, this is Stefan, an old friend. So you get nervous, like, is Stefan gonna... Oh my god, is Stefan gonna be the one that finally ends Klaus? Is he gonna get his, like, revenge satisfied? Although, they're like frenemies, if anything. I really wanted a frenemies love trope, Clefin. I'll even take Clefaline. Love Clefaline. That way, like, everybody has at least one person that loves them. And chooses them first, so, you know. Except for maybe Klaus, whose ego is big enough to do that for himself. But Freya helps Stefan anyways, even though Elijah and Freya are both worried about him being there. They're all, like, trying to rush him out of there. And he's like, yo, I didn't expect a parade, but, like, what's happening here? Because he's like, yo, full disclosure, I dated your sister once. And she's like, nice, let's just get back to your wound. Stefan has questions about it and, like, you know. She explains they don't want the link to be unsired. He's like, I wanted this years ago, bro. Elijah gets a phone call from Haley saying that the Crescent Wolves have found Aurora's scent. Klaus and Elijah go there. Haley also finds Lucien tied up in wherever they are. Lucien's like, get Klaus out of here now. It's a trap. And they are also put into the Chambre de Chasse with Aurora, Tristan, and that's it. But yeah, the Michelson brothers, Klaus and Elijah, are put into the Chambre de Chasse. I think that's how you say it. And basically, they have to find what represents them. And there's like a little banter going on between Tristan and Elijah and Aurora and Klaus. Klaus pretty much is like, you can't hurt me in here. And then she starts talking about Cammy. And he's like, she's like, who says we can't hurt each other in here? Marcel is talking to, you know, Haley and Lucien, and one of them is just like, yeah, I had no idea Aya and Aurora were going to take down Klaus and Elijah. And Marcel's just like, why are we trusting Lucien? Haley's like, trust Lucien? What? Why are we trusting you? You took my husband's dead heart. And he's like, that heart bought your life, bro. So like, Marcel is as loyal as they come. He is there for the Michelsons. He is had no loyalties to the Strix when he joined because he is a Michelson at heart. And they're arguing, and Lucien is just like, We need to stop an execution. Like, Davina's in over her head. She will fail. When she does the spell, they will try to kill Klaus to make sure it worked before they then kill Elijah. It's a win-win for her, because Aya wins either way. Either you're dead and all of your sires are dead, or she gets to be free from her sire. Lucien definitely has a lot of ego, and he's like, so we need to figure out how to stop the unsiring spell or we're dead. And Stefan walks in. He's like, yeah, me too. I am also sired by Klaus. And you know Lucien with his big-ass ego, he's just like, is this really the best help we can get? And he's like, Haley's like, Freya has a plan. She knocks Lucien out because Lucien won't shut the fuck up. He's like, you're gonna have these two toddlers go while I stay here and do nothing. And Stefan's impressed by Freya. Stefan actually has a lot of chemistry with all of the Michaels since. Maybe like the least chemistry he has is like with Elijah, but even so, they have some moments, including Freya. That's why I brought this up to say. And at this point in time, like Phoebe Tonkin and Paul Wesley were actually dating in real life, which I really love that they did this. And Phoebe Tonkin is Haley and Paul Wesley is Stefan, for those of you who do not know. And we have Aurora and Klaus talking about some, you know, references to the chessboard where the king is the weakest and the strongest piece after all of his people leave him or die. Like you and the sire line, and then he talks about the brave knight, and she's trying to make references to what could represent him as a joke and bothering him at the same time. And Elijah starts saying, like, the best mercy I ever did was get rid of you for my brother's life, and 1,000 years later he came to it all on his own. So basically Freya is planning to use Lucien because he is the oldest vampire other than Finn, who would rather let their brothers die, and he just needs the rest of them, she needs the rest of them, I mean, to distract the Strix while she does this, while she gets them out of the Chambra. So Stefan comes in with his hair o'hare, and he's like, if you can get us in, I can get them distracted. Marcel drives in with Haley and Stefan and is drunk. They talk about the reason that they're there. He says cute kid on her home screen, and she's just like, yeah, she's one of the reasons that I'm here. And basically Stefan's like, yeah, I'm here because of my brother and whatever else. And she's like, yeah, I never understood, like, the brotherly love until I saw Klaus and Elijah. They hurt them, like, each other more than anybody, but they will protect each other from everything else. Like, they are ruthless when it comes to protecting each other. And then she's like, who's on your home screen? And she seems a little jealous. I'm like, Phoebe, calm down. Your man's fine. And she's like, oh, Caroline, I remember her. I snapped her neck once. Klaus had a thing for her. Stefan's like, yeah, she's toughened up since. You wouldn't win round two. And they're both just like, going into a fight that we might not win with a stranger, we have our reasons. And he's like, I know we don't really know each other, but my life is in your hands, so let's make this count. And then she shushes them because they're pulling up to the Strix, like, headquarters, and Marcel's getting put loud in. And honestly, when Freya and Stefan were talking, I'm not sure or not if I mentioned that Freya makes him a mask paste that masks this, like, Raina's mark so he can't be found by Raina Cruz. So while Marcel is getting allowed in, Stefan rubs off the mask to attract Raina Cruz to them, which she will be the one distracting all the strict vampires as Davina is performing the spell. Vampires are one of the few things on the top of the food chain. Obviously, originals are higher, but Raina Cruz, I think, can harm all of them. She doesn't actually kill them, and she couldn't kill the originals' bodies, but she can kill all the other vampires and trap their soul in unending torment forever in a little gem, aka the Phoenix Stone. Marcel was like, did you know, Davina, when they do this, they're gonna kill Klaus, and if it doesn't work, that's me and Josh and whoever else is dead. And at this point we see Freya and Lucien with their little flirtatiousness. They have some really good chemistry, whether he was playing her or not. It's pretty good. She uses him to get into the Chambre de Shah. She gets her brothers out, but before she does that, she cuts his, like, their throats start bleeding because the spell is happening. Elijah wakes up first and starts fighting off them. And then Raina comes through and she starts, like, using her sword to, you know, come at them. And Aya immediately knows who she is, so, because she's been around forever, Aya and this hunter. So it's, like, really cool that this is, like, a tracking villain, or so to speak, villain that's hunting Stefan, and he can travel to New Orleans and she can hunt all of his enemies there for him. So I really like that. So when Klaus wakes up, he actually goes after Davina immediately, and she's like, no, this is your time. Like, And she throws him down and finishes the ritual. She's like, your brother is coming home tonight, honey, and you going down. You see, like, the sire bond unlinking. You see Stefan, Marcel, and Lucien all feeling the pain, and Klaus, of all of them unlinking from the rest of them. I really wish they showed us the Mystic Falls vampires as well, other than just Stefan, but this was the episode on the original, so I guess it makes sense. They had enough, I guess. Or even a mention of it in the next episode on the Vampire Diaries. That would have been cool, like they did in 511 and 112. 511 of the Vampire Diaries and 112 of the originals, where Klaus and Caroline hook up and Marcel comments about him going to Mystic Falls. So the chamber starts collapsing. Aurora promises Tristan that she will find a way to save him. He goes, I don't doubt it for a second, and it kind of like slips away. Honestly, Aya has some pretty good lines, and in this episode she has a really good line that I like. He's like, I can't forgive this, Elijah says to Aya. And she says, if your life were chained to a man who left you despite your devotion, what choice would you have but to break free? I really like that line for a lot of reasons. It shows that, like, even when we are devoted to somebody, they are not devoted to us, and you can't spend your time still staying devoted to somebody who doesn't show you or reciprocate that. And I really like that. And Elijah doesn't even want to kill her because he does have some guilt and he did care about her at one point. And she's just like, end it, because I'm sick of being tied to you. And he's like, no. And she's like, well, I'm going to take that gun and shoot you, so we both die then. And Haley walks up behind her and rips out her heart and says, that's more mercy than Jackson ever got. Boom. And then we see Klaus breaking up Aurora behind where he painted her other painting that he unbricked recently-ish. And he's like, I will not grant you the mercy of killing you because, well, the only person that loves you is in the ocean. You'll have to suffer up here. He's like, while the fish eat him, the worms will eat you. Just know, it was I that took everything from you. Fucking Klaus. Davina is very upset that Marcel doubted her, that Marcel didn't stand by her and take her side, and she says that to him, and then she goes ahead and grabs her stuff from Marcel's house and leaves. And then Stefan is like, I saved you and you saved me, as he's about to leave. He's like, isn't that funny how it works? And he's just like, is this the last time we're ever going to see each other again? I would be happy if it is. And it actually is. But Klaus is like, it depends. Are you going to do the right thing? He's like, by whom? I assume you don't mean my brother. He's like, by her. Obviously by Caroline, bitch. Keep up. He's like, I love her, and I know you did once too, and I will only do right by her. And he's like, I don't know what he says exactly, but he's just like, yeah, okay, thank you. And he's like, oh, before I leave, like, you should also be, there's somebody else that you should be thanking. And he's like, Marcel had to fight for me. If I died, he would have too. Which honestly doesn't make sense because he's thanking Stefan, who also kind of had to fight for him. He's like, no, I'm talking about Haley. Like, for some reason, she cares about you. Show her that back. I think that was just, like, Paul Wesley getting to, like, have a line for protecting his real-life girlfriend. I don't know. It was cute. I just didn't think it was, like, all that necessary. But whatever. Klaus does need to appreciate Haley more because he doesn't always. And then one day he does. And Stefan's just like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. Never better. And then he leaves. Stefan leaves, I mean. And Frey's like, Klaus is like, what's happening to me? Basically, Frey explains that he's magically hemorrhaging because of the amount of mystical energy that was used in that spell, that he just needs a good night rest, and there's like a Nexus 4T, and he's like, where did that go? And then we see Davina doing a spell, the Ash of Two Brothers, something about two brothers, and boom, Cole is back in the flesh. And little did we know, so is Finny Poo. And I just really enjoyed all these moments. I thought these episodes were written really well. I thought that the Armory and Reyna and all, like, the Strix and all these different things blended in really well with the Sire line. There's just a lot of things going on in both shows, and they made it work. They made it work. I think that's the only actual, like, crossover that we get with both shows, because there are a lot of other times where characters from each show go to the other. But this is the only time we see it like this, where you need this episode to make that episode complete. Because I started watching 7:15 of The Vampire Diaries the first time that I binged this. And I was just like, whoa, Freya, why is she in the previews? I mean, or previously what happened. I hope you guys enjoyed this discussion. Let me know what you guys thought of this crossover, or any other crossovers that you might have liked.